Wendell gave me this assignment 6 months ago, and I'm not going to lie, I did a happy jig and sang a song about getting a golden ticket, and everyone around me questioned Wendell's sanity in giving this to me, and are right now probably cringing at what my wandering thoughts might produce. But I got to thinking about how this is the end of December, and the new year is almost upon us, and maybe we, and especially myself, could benefit from some new year's resolutions. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proven by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. Always feed the single people. You never know when they might come in handy. Read good books. There are all kinds of good books out there. We even have a bunch here in our very own library, but do try to return them in a timely fashion. Remember the compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in this, tell me how. Tracks aren't fun for anyone, not the waitress, nor the trick-or-treater, and not for the produce guy in the grocery store who finds them in random places. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Work hard to bridge cultural gaps. There are very few discussions that should keep us from having pie afterward. Ice cream, however, is a different story. Sometimes you have to set a goal and realize that ice cream is only for winners and not for losers, and set the bar accordingly. Take no offense where none was meant to be taken. Don't be a crybaby, be a do baby. We all have to pitch in and do our part. From turning in forms to getting our pictures taken, serving in the nursery to cleaning out the gutters, it all has to be done. And it isn't fair for the pastor and elders to have to chase after us. From the smallest toe to the biggest nose, we all make up one body, this body. That's why we have the privilege and honor of being able to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. Learn something new this new year. Stretch your mind. Do a word study. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. You can't actually see the Great Wall from outer space. It's long, but not very wide. Work hard to make new friends. It's much easier if you don't come late and leave early. We've got lots of different interests and people here. We just have to find the ones that click the best. Do you like guns? Well, of course you do. Let me try this again. Do you like to hunt? We have hunters. Do you like to golf? We have golfers, too. Do you like yarn or other crafty pursuits? I might know someone. Do you like science fiction or bow-tie-wearing doctors? Well, we have those, too. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me on sunscreen.
You're going second, Wendell says. Okay. Well, first, I'm glad Nate and Shannon are here after the past 2 weeks where those two with the best records in the Fantasy Football League went down to defeat to my Web Monkeys. So,
wow.
Glad you're here. For those of you who don't know, I graduated from Taylor back in the olden days, 1979. And back then, if I remember correctly, we had chapel services every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They weren't required, but you were strongly encouraged to attend. Many cases, the chapel speakers were just professors at the school, sometimes community leaders, and in some cases, there were more prominent nationally known individuals. But on some occasions, there were student speakers. Now, these were not just any students, but they were, as we referred to them on my dorm floor, the campus spiritual giants. You see, to be a spiritual giant, It wasn't good enough to simply be a follower of Christ. No, you had to have been saved from one of the following, and this list may not be complete: drugs, prostitution, loan sharking, money laundering, gambling, alcoholism, motorcycle gangs, running an auto chop shop, dog fighting, plus any other possible unsavory activity you could possibly imagine. Maybe even dancing. I listened in rapt attention while these students gave their life story and told how they'd either turned to Christ for the first time or had come back to Christ, and then were able, through His grace, to overcome the evils of their previous life. I was very thankful for their stories and that they stood before all of us as changed individuals, products of God's amazing love and grace. But I also knew one thing. I really couldn't relate to their lives. I was not a spiritual giant. When I spoke at my mom's funeral years ago, I said my life was kind of the equivalent of Beaver Cleaver, if you ever watched that show. I grew up in a stable, loving, two-parent family where my folks rarely raised their voice to each other or to me. I had an older brother, who's 12 years older and 6'3", who tormented me occasionally, but was my idol as a kid and almost like another parent to me. We lived next to some woods where I explored, killed snakes, and built forts during my childhood. We were active at church, and I learned all of the Bible stories as a child. My public school was small, and the majority of the kids I graduated with, I've been in school with them since kindergarten. The area I lived in, Ohio, was heavily Mennonite, and being a Christian in my high school was commonplace. The biggest theological question that came up at school was, why do we always have fish sticks on Friday? As a teenager, I never smoked, drank alcohol, or engaged in any other less desirable activities. By avoiding these things, I knew that I'd have the approval of my parents as well. But by not spending money on stupid stuff, I could save up for the best car stereo money could buy. More and more, the calm, calculating, methodical, and logic thinking part of me became prominent. Later in life, that would be known to be computer geek. I knew and accepted the fact that I was a sinner and that following Christ just made sense, and that's what I needed to do. So I did. I didn't experience any tearful time of kneeling at an altar while "Just As I Am" was being sung, yet I knew Christ was my Savior. Now you can probably see why I wasn't chapel material. Of course, nobody's life is perfect, and I've had many challenges as an adult. You know, Holly and I found out we couldn't have biological children of our own, and then after we adopted Matt and Carrie, they inexplicably grew up and became teenagers. And this was very frustrating to me because I couldn't figure out how, presented with the same information that I had growing up, they didn't follow in the same behavioral footsteps that I did. My if-then-else logical programming paradigm didn't seem to work. Holly then had to break it to me that my behavior when I was younger was probably the exception rather than the rule. I spent years at a job I loved, but for an overbearing boss that cussed out people every day. Good friends of mine have changed jobs and moved away, while some have died far too young. In just this decade, both of my parents have passed away. Yet many of these events are typical and struggles every one of us have had, you know, at one time or another. The older I got, the more I appreciate what God has done in my life and the things from which I have been spared. But I have to confess that while I grew up, I was never around the spiritual giants. It seemed like everyone was pretty much like me. I really had trouble understanding their lives and struggles. This changed a little bit a few years ago when I went to a men's retreat up in Michigan. A good friend of mine was on staff with the organization and wanted me to attend. Now, I knew this friend was solid in his faith, but I went ahead and did my due diligence, reading the group's statement of faith on their website, along with with their beliefs. It was all solid. Well, it was unlike any retreat I'd ever been to. While there were a few unchurched guys there, the vast majority of guys were Christians, but many carried baggage like I'd never seen before. Throughout the weekend, I saw men break down from the weight of troubles in their lives. One guy's wife told him she was tired of him and the kids and wanted to focus on her career, and the result, she was divorcing him. He ended up being my one-on-one prayer partner over the weekend. He told me that he was so distraught over the impending divorce that he had done the unthinkable and sought out a prostitute. He was overwhelmed with the guilt of what he had done. Many other guys were struggling with anger and resentment due to the abuse they endured as kids. In some cases, it was physical abuse by family, friends, or relatives. In many cases, it was verbal and emotional abuse dished out by one or both of their parents. One guy in particular was openly hostile to me in his attitude toward me, glaring at me from the first night we were there. He later came to me in tears, apologizing for his actions while explaining that I had resembled an uncle who had abused him as a child. Many feared their role as a husband and father, afraid they would continue the same pattern of abuse as they had in their own family. And there were an unbelievable number of guys, many who were married, who struggled with same-sex attraction. My friend up there on staff told me that that's the number one problem they see guys dealing with since his retreats have begun. So I want to take a minute to thank Wendell for his teaching on this topic earlier this year. I know it was controversial, and some wondered why many weeks were spent teaching on something that seemed very foreign to us. While it may not be an issue for anyone in our body here, understand that it is a big problem elsewhere, and even within the church nationwide. Although the sins of my life may not seem as heinous as some, there is still enough to separate me from God apart from my relationship with Christ. Perhaps a danger for us non-spiritual giants is complacency. Like Simon in Luke 7, we need to be careful not to love little in the misguided notion that we're not forgiven as much as others. I'm glad that the same God who I came to know at an early age is so loving as to forgive the sins of the spiritual giants and change their lives in such an extraordinary way. These folks have endured much, and I marvel in the transformation that God has made in their lives. For example, the weekend retreat prayer partner I told you about is a changed man. He tried valiantly to talk his wife out of the divorce, but to no avail. Today he lives with full custody of his two kids and is growing spiritually by leaps and bounds. We still keep in touch. But I'm glad I'm not a spiritual giant, at least in the context to which I presented it. I'm glad that God spared me from so much in my life. I'm glad that the trials I have faced thus far in my life seem minor, at least in retrospect. His grace has certainly proven to be sufficient, and I am content. And I'm always mindful that spiritual giants and non-spiritual giants alike are all sinners, deserving of justice, yet equal in the mercy, grace, and forgiveness available for the asking at the foot of the cross.
Good morning. I must admit, before I begin, when Wendell first handed me the yellow sheet about 6 months ago, I was like, maybe I should just sing my reflection. Seems almost easier for me now, but I decided that might be a little weird. So I will be speaking it, actually. Well, I want to take this opportunity to talk about gratefulness and something for which I have been steadily growing more and more appreciative. As many of you know, I began attending Bluffton High School my sophomore year, and I'm currently finishing my high school career there, and I'm going to graduate in May. Going from being homeschooled to a public school took a little bit of adjusting for me. Although I enjoyed the structure that public school brought, it was tough to getting used to getting up early every morning, getting home late every afternoon, and still having tons of homework to do. I eventually adjusted to these things, and they seem pretty normal to me by now. However, I still struggle to adjust to some of the students with whom I interact daily. Every day, I witness subtle, or sometimes not so subtle, bullying. I see kids who seem to have given up on life and care about nothing. I see blatant disrespect for teachers and fellow students. In short, I see a lot of students who misbehave, because they've never been taught how they should act. Many of the kids lack the home life essential to healthy development. One of the girls I befriended recently, she shared with me some of her struggles, some of the things she's gone through in the past, and I shiver to think of some of the things that she suffered at the hands of those she should have been able to trust. Throughout these experiences and observations, God has opened my eyes to my great fortune and taught me gratefulness. As I reflect upon some of the people I have met, I am so thankful for the childhood that I have been blessed with. I have grown up in a Christian family with two parents
who have taught me about God and love me enough to discipline me and teach me right from wrong. I know at times I resented the spankings or occasional groundings, but looking back, I now understand and appreciate the time they took to teach me and encourage my conformity to Christ. Also, I am incredibly grateful for this church and its commitment to teach truth from the earliest age. Through youth group and Sunday mornings, I've been taught valuable lessons as well as strategies to defend my faith. I realize that much of my character now has been built by my parents, siblings, and church. Before attending Bluffton, I used to take these things for granted, viewing them as universal to every person. However, now I recognize my stable family and church for what they truly are, blessings from God, which have impacted me immeasurably. As I plan to head off to college next year, I appreciate these blessings all the more. I am so thankful that I have a strong foundation to hold to as I venture out on my own and gain my independence.